Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So nice to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed, Tony Squires with you, sitting listeners. Just about 25 minutes left to share with you before you will be heading to the beautiful MCG to hear the Sydney Swans, that young Swans taking on the Richmond Tigers. Buddy Franklin not there, but that is what is in store for you. Queensland regional listeners will continue, and you can, of course, if you're from Sydney, you can get us on the app and see what we're up to. All right, let's have a little look at the Manly and the Panthers game. 46 points to 6 on that Tyre Power scoreboard. Before we get to Manly and what is going wrong there, let's just biggie up your team, Gerds, for a second, the Panthers, because they just look great.
Yeah, look, I spoke about it before. I don't think they really hit top gear the other night against Manly, but it was always going to be difficult given, you know, they've had a pretty tough start to the season. Obviously, that last week's game against Melbourne would have taken a little bit out emotionally and physically, being the grand final rematch. But they came out and they're just really professional side, aren't they? They keep it really simple when they need to. They got probably the best kicking game in the business. Jerome Luai, I thought, you know, just added a little bit of spark where he needed to. Defensively, you know, they're not a side that complacency is really an issue, because I think they just love the contest every week, and they were just too much again for Manly. Manly started the game really poorly, handed them over a lot of ball, and when you're playing against, you know, the good sides, one thing you can't do is offer a lot of opportunity early in the contest, because it can blow out early, and the game was actually over after about 20 minutes, to be fair. Manly had a couple of patches throughout the game where they put up a little bit of resilience, but, you know, they were never going to be able to sustain that. I think Manly dominated the last 10 minutes of the first half. I think they might have even scored a try and sort of went in a little buoyed at half time, but it was always going to be an issue for them to come and sustain that in the second 40, and then Penrith just kind of hit their straps and blew them away.
Yeah. We spoke last week about Matt Burton and the Panthers being vindicated. He replaced Nathan Cleary, who was out last week.
Yeah.
And there was been all that talk from the Bulldogs about you standing in the kids' way. Yeah. Well, he had that opportunity, and then he's come back and he played centre. I can't really see how he doesn't fit into the 17 for the rest of the season now. I mean, he can do it from any place. Yeah. He's great. What do you think, MG?
He's there. He's in the 17. In fact, centre could be his spot. Centre looked really good. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's skillful. He can play back row at a pinch as well. So I think he's definitely going to be in the 17. And, yeah, look, it's Penrith were formidable, weren't they? They, as Gerds mentioned, they didn't really get out of second gear. It says a lot about their opposition, but I suppose, we spoke about Manly earlier, they just didn't turn up. And, but Penrith, you've got to turn up with a team like Penrith, because they'll make you pay big time. And Kikau had a field day, Brian To'o had a field day, and unfortunately Manly didn't.
There was a bit of talk in the preseason about Burton playing centre. In fact, I think he trained a lot of the preseason in the centres. But when the season started, it didn't happen. I think he played there in a trial and it didn't go well, but... Gee, he's been good the past couple of weeks, hasn't he? He's a hell of a signing for Canterbury.
Yeah.
Great signing. That's one they have got right.
Yeah, he must be rubbing his hands. Can't wait to get there. He'll be saying right about now. What about Manly? I mean, it's tough times there, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrific. Horrific. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on. Obviously, there was a lot of talk about Des Hazard's contract only a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure there'll be talk about Des again in light of what's happened over the opening 4 weeks of this year. I mean, they look terrible. They just don't look like they're at the races at all. And Des, he sort of looked at times, out of answers. So the club said they're going to put some more support around Des. I think there's a bit of pressure on Des now. Well, I don't think there's any doubt there's a lot of pressure on Des now to turn things around. The next 6 weeks is a pretty good, they've got a pretty good run. I think the only top eight side from last year they play in the next 6 weeks is, I think, Penrith. Mm. They get Tommy back in a couple of weeks. But if they can't fix it, I can't see how Des survives, to be fair.
They look best when they play flat and fast. Over the last couple of years, well, I think when they've had their runs, and I think it might have been, was it 19, when they sort of got a lot of injuries, but just in those key areas, I think – You know, Cherry Evans plays really well when, you know, there's a little bit of momentum through the middle. They've got, well, they had Appy jumping out, or they had Fainu jumping out, and then on the back of that, Tom and Jake were pushing up with the football, and Cherry Evans then likes to run. He's a great running halfback. But, you know, because they're not generating any momentum through the middle, they lost Fanua Blake. They haven't got a regular number nine that has that sort of part to his game. They're playing really flat-footed. They're playing well before the line. They don't seem to have a plan. They're ill-disciplined. And as MG said, they showed energy in for probably about 20, 25 minutes out of that 80 on Thursday night, and they're a long way away from competing in that contest.
Yeah, and there is a bit of talk, isn't there, about Daly Cherry Evans, as there always is, about the guy who's on a lot of money and who's your playmaker, and all the pressure is heaped on those shoulders. And he admits himself he's not in the greatest of form. And that pressure kind of, the furnace intensifies when people like Mick Ennis, quite rightly, he's commenting on Fox League. Here is some of what he had to say.
Daly on $1.2 million. Mm. It's a lot of money out of your cap these days. Yeah, and he's a super player, but maybe, you know, there'd be plenty of clubs that would still be interested in paying good freight for Daly Cherry. He's only 30 years of age, but maybe Manly need to make a call like that to be able to get themselves back competitive in the market to rebuild. Mm. And his form to start the season certainly hasn't been what you would want from a guy who is their absolute man without Tom Trbojevic there. He is their man.
Michael Ennis on Fox League. What do you think, MG?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it? I probably disagree with Mick there, and I don't think there'd be clubs lining up to pay on his current form. Look, he's $1.2 million. That's the most in the competition by far, and I don't think Daly, he'd be the first to say it himself, by two tone, that he hasn't lived up to that price tag this year. And as for other clubs wanting him, at the moment, I don't know, who? Maybe it wouldn't be the Titans. He's already backflipped on them once, so. I suppose the Doggies would like to have him, he'll stay at Manly. They'll get their funk going. They'll get something happening. They can't play any worse than they did last Thursday. That's one positive.
Their salary cap must be in awful shape, Rudy, because they lost Adam Fanua Blake. They basically let one of the best front rowers in the game go because they wanted to get their salary cap in order, and they didn't bring anyone else in.
They haven't tapped Marty Tapau. Marty Tapau's been given permission to go and explore the market as well, because they've already said to Marty he won't get an extension beyond next season, and Marty's on big money as well. I feel a little bit sorry for Daly because, you know, they're getting burnt on the edges, Manly.
Yep.
He's played Dylan Walker at fullback. I think it's been a failure. It's been a flop. I think Dylan Walker's the centre. Mm. And they've lost Andrew Davey, Curtis Sirin and Morgan Boyle. All have played as edge back rowers this year. They've all gone down basically for the season. So I feel a little bit sorry for Daly. There's a lot of pressure. And Tommy takes so much pressure off him because you can't just key on Daly because Tommy will kill you. So I feel a little bit sorry for him. He's just incumbent Australian fullback. He's a halfback. I mean, Daly, he's a really good footballer.
Yep.
And things just aren't working at the moment, but he'll turn it around. He will turn it around.
Yeah, okay. And there's pressure on him, as we said, pressure on Tommy as well. He comes back, but not this week, Tommy.
Not this week, Tommy. Apparently after the game, he basically demanded to come back, and they've said to him, no, you've got to wait another week.
Some good signs, though, through the week with young Schuster, who's been really good for him. He's been through their junior system, and he signed a long-term deal. He's potentially a six. He's playing back row at the moment. That's another
place where
Kieran's there. Wow. You know, what do they do with Kieran at the moment? You know, that combination that getting the band back together again, you know, it hasn't probably worked as well as they would have liked. But I'm with Rudy. I think Daly's a guy that we've seen in the past when Manly have gone through these issues. He's the man to bring him out of it. He just needs some help in the middle. They're just getting dominated. And you know, Adam leaving, and then Marty kind of looks to me like he's the player that he can become disinterested quite quickly if his interest is somewhere else and people are talking about moving him on. And if his heart and soul's not into leading that pack on a weekly basis, it might be issues. I like young Kepi. He comes on and he's warts and all, and he has a really good dig, and there's some players there that are showing his numbers were pretty effective the other night. So there's some guys there that are working hard, but we've got to find some answers quickly.
All right, it is happening, the 18th man. Now, there are certainly some checks and balances are going to have to take place before an 18th man substitute is allowed. Three positive HIA tests. So you've got to basically have your bench empty, and it's all got them down to... So this is a concussion? Is it protecting the players? What are we made of it?
I think that's the priority, Tone, the fact that they're being a lot more cautious with concussion now, which means players are staying off more if they get a head knock, which means there's more strain on the squad numbers. And I think that's the major motivation behind it. But I think there'll be some changes to what they originally announced. So I think there'll be you'll be allowed to use the 18th player in the case of foul play, potentially, if it's not a concussion, I suspect. And I think that the idea of having an emerging player as the 18th man, I think that might get speared.
How is that defined, an emerging
player? Well, they don't know yet. That's what they were trying to work that out over the past few days and into next week. But I think that'll get scrapped. I think it'll be just a 18th man.
I think we've never been so vigilant as far as head knocks go, and I think we lead the way as a code. But since last year, we've had that many new rules implemented into the game. Like yesterday, Lockie Lewis was off after 5 minutes. He was off, so all of a sudden the Dogs were behind the eight ball from the start. I just think we should have an 18th man full time. Just make the squads 18. Just have instead of 17 man squads, have 18 man squads.
What, so you can rotate through just, 18 men throughout?
Yeah. Why not?
Well,
I don't see why we shouldn't have it. Well, there's some theory.
Yeah, that's true. There's some theory, obviously, that it's a game of attrition, war of attrition anyway.
It still will be. These rules we spoke to Pappenhausen, how he's one of the fittest blokes in the game. He said he was gone at half time. I mean, the game has never been faster. Something's got to give. And just add one more play to the bench.
What do you think, Gerds?
I think we sometimes we need to be a little bit careful when we go changing the rules, and I think that's what sort of happened last year, and that's why we find ourselves in the situation we're in at the moment, Tony. The butterfly effect, the ripples.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Pete, fascinated. Valadis came through and we made a lot of those rule changes and everyone was really happy with it, rules that had been in the game for a long period of time. And, it was great for that period, but couldn't help but sit back and think at some point, are we going to see some side effects from the changes that we've made, you know? And I think we're seeing that now. Now, whether that's good or bad, as everyone's got their own opinion on. But I just think with, rules moving forward with, adding additional people and how that looks needs to be thoroughly thought through so we don't get 6 weeks in and then go, what did we do that for? And this is the carry-on effect from the decisions we made back then over maybe what was a reaction, because we just need the season just to settle a little bit. We're in the opening couple of rounds. I was alarmed as well as anyone last week when we saw a lot of different injuries for a lot of different reasons. I think in one round there was 70 weeks of rugby league that was going to be missed then by a certain amount of players, and we don't want to see that, but they weren't all head knocks. So the game's certainly changing, as MG spoke about. We don't really know what it looks like. We certainly haven't played it the way that it is now, so it's hard to comment in that regard.
It looks faster, doesn't it? It just looks faster.
But we need to
be
careful when we start adding, changing and fixing and not fixing, absolutely, putting in and taking away and all that.
Butterfly effects and all that type of stuff.
Ripples.
But you've got to speak to Graham Addersley and you can ask him about the butterfly effect.
I'm hoping he's listening. He's listening right now so I can get his butterfly effect answer ready to go, because that's
brilliant.
But if we're looking at, and which is absolutely right, and all sports are doing, and rugby league has been terrific at looking at the protection of the player, and concussion is a massive issue. But are we also trying, is this rule should be about the protection of that individual game? Now, if the bench is cleared and not from HIS by three guys with broken legs, isn't that, there's still the situation where one team is down three players. Why couldn't it just be an injury substitution?
Well, that's a good question, Tone. I quite like MG's idea, actually, when I think about it. Why not just make it a five-man bench? What's the, you still have the same number of interchanges.
Yeah.
You have eight interchanges.
Yeah, but you've got five blokes
on the
pick
bench
from.
Potentially. What's the difference, really? I mean, that's probably where it's sort of going to end up there anyway, because if it's for foul play, they'll probably only.
But look how the game's evolved. Like when my first year in first grade, we had two on the bench, a forward and a back. And if you got replaced, you were gone. That was it. You wouldn't come back on. So the game has grown, and now it's as fast as we can get it, I think. We've got to make some changes and add another man, I think.
40-6 is the Storm over the Broncos. When the Broncos scored first through Xavier Coates, it was an absolute mistake-a-thon very early. And then, of course, the Storm clicked into gear. Ryan Pappenhausen, 4 tries in 11 minutes. MG, I think it's your brother, Matt, might have the record points for the Storm still. But
has he?
Yeah, he does. But Ryan Pappenhausen was and was absolutely brilliant. What do you make of it?
There's always hope, Tone. That's why I keep tipping them every week. There's always hope. Where there's life, there's hope.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
No, it's a bit of stupidity in that as well. Yeah,
that's why I come last. Yeah. they started well last night, but they quickly slipped away, and they're just not in Melbourne's class at the moment. Not even close, to be fair. And, it's interesting. Kevy's copped a bit of flack, hasn't he, over what he did with the halves, playing Tommy Dearden, dropping Brodie Croft or dropping him back to the bench. It's probably warranted because it didn't work last night and they were coming off a win. So a lot of issues going on up there they need to resolve. A lot of players off contract.
They beat the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
The week before. You can make changes after you beat the Bulldogs before you go to the Melbourne Storm.
Not if you haven't won in a while, surely.
I thought it was a good move. I think... And I've been watching Anthony Milford. He looks fit this year. He's sort of running the ball. Some of his kicking game's been okay. I know he comes under a fair bit of heat every year. But
nice 40-20 last night.
I think the combination with him and Dearden is something that essentially they need to stick with, and then they can, Brodie Croft, he's a good 14 for mine. He can play 9. He can play anywhere in the halves. He's a guy that you could play 13 if you wanted to, So I think they've got those combinations right. The hardest thing is, especially when you're a new coach and everyone's focused on results, is having time just to bed those players in and let them find the roles that you want them to have. And takes time, Same as in some of these other coaches, you look at Barrett and the guys that have taken over rosters at clubs that have been struggling. I mean, everyone expects the coach to come in and all of a sudden that club to start winning. Well, it's a process involved for these guys. It's a couple of steps back and then getting everyone to buy in and understand what you want and go through that process for Kevy. Just because he's a Broncos legend doesn't mean they're all of a sudden going to start winning for him, but... I thought there were some green shoots for the Broncos in that performance last night.
Kevy will get time to turn
40 to 6.
Around.
I mean, in the modern game, that's not that's too big a loss.
That's close as hell, that one.
But they've got a tough, the next three games are South, Penrith, Parramatta. So it doesn't get any easier for them. I mean, that's a tough draw.
Little Payne Huss was great last night. He was their best player by a mile. He's, his numbers continue to churn and they just looked at the void of that one superstar. Obviously, Tony Staggs is out with an injury till mid-year, so they've got to wait for him. But Xavier Coates is always a shining light. But apart from that, they just, McCarrigan missed an easy tackle on Olam, which set up one of the tries for Pappenhausen. And just little efforts like that, that why they're so far away from the good teams. It's not through a lack of wanting or trying. They have the dig, but they just haven't got the talent. And it seems to be a chorus that we're singing a lot about these teams, the Dogs and the Cowboys, and it's just a matter of want. The coaches, I suppose, have got to have some say in the matter. Then they've got to cut some blame as well. But Kevy's got a team that he basically doesn't recognise, and he won't for 2 or 3 years probably.
And how long does Kevy get? I mean, as we know, he's a much-loved son at the Broncos, and you're a fan, Reedy, and you're also part of the media. And I mean, in the old days, the old boys have had a crack at whoever's in that spot.
Mm.
What grace does he have?
Oh, he'll get a fair bit of grace, Tone, because he's inherited this side, and a side that's probably, it's at the lowest ebb of its history. So he's got to dust them off and pick them up. And it's not an easy, as we've seen, it's not an easy job. So Kevy, he'll get a fair grace period, particularly from the old boys. I mean, we haven't seen any criticism directed his way yet by any of those old boys. And I don't think any will come anytime soon because they were basically baying for Kevy to get the job. So it's a bit hard for them to now turn around and criticise him. But, he'll get time, but they need to show some improvement. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They need to, and he needs to keep those off-contract guys I spoke about. We're talking Dearden's one of them. Xavier Coates. Katoni Staggs, they had a win with young Brendan Paikura, the young kid the Dogs were chasing. Keeping him was huge for them, but there's a handful of guys that they need to keep to make sure Kevy's got something to work with beyond this season.
And what a great pleasure to welcome once more Jai Arrow to the show. G'day, mate.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Very, very well, thank you. You've gotten over having Chris Hemsworth in the dressing room last week, have you?
Yeah. I was a little bit starstruck last week, but I had to get over that and get on with it and do my job. So, was it on the back of my mind? Probably, but who knows?
How big is he? Is he tall? I mean, would you guys monster him in there? Because he's well built, isn't he?
Nah, he's very well built, Gerd. He's a big boy, and he's actually quite tall as well. I think he sort of towered over you know, most of us, and
really?
A lot bigger as well. So, yeah, he's a big boy and probably deceptively big as well. I don't think anyone actually realises until you actually meet him, and I can honestly say I met him and wrapped my arms around him and got a photo with him. So, yeah, it was good.
A big cuddle with Thor after a win. How good.
Yeah.
Mate, you needed a cuddle. You needed a bit of a cuddle, didn't you, after that Roosters game? They came after you.
Yeah, they did. And I look, as a footy player, it was so enjoyable. And I love that physical part of the game. And it being my first sort of rivalry game with the two clubs that have been there since day one was it was very enjoyable. And they did come after me. But, you know, I enjoyed that part of the game. And not only that, it's sort of the fuel was lit, you know, it being the sort of the rivalry that's been around since day one. So that definitely helped. And, yeah, it was very enjoyable, as I said.
I think you would have been a Thor boy after that game, actually.
Oh, no. Tough game.
Someone had to say it.
The old pun, brother.
Yesterday was a tough game in the first 30 minutes. The Doggies come to play. They tried to unsettle you boys, and it wasn't for a couple of moments of brilliance that changed the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought they played very well. You know, they completed fairly high, and the first half they were in it the whole way. It's just sort of we grinded away and did our job. And as you said, it was a bit of individual brilliance from Cookie getting out of dummy half and sort of showcase what he can do. And then not only that, Cody Walker I thought was tremendous as well. And then you had little Adam Reynolds running down the field at the end of the game with that charge down, which was hilarious. He was I thought he was going to get caught with his little legs running like a little rabbit down the field. But I think the most rewarding thing out of that game was keeping them to 0 points. Obviously they've had a lot of criticism with their attack, but I thought we defended well, and that's probably the biggest reward going out of that game was sort of keeping them to 0 points.
Joy, you mentioned Cody Walker there. He got charged today over the forearm on Nick Meaney. Are you concerned by that? And how big an absence would he be next week?
Yeah, look, obviously, Cody, he's been tremendous the past couple, probably all the games we've played, and he's obviously a big presence for our team, but I think we have the depth there. We got a class player in Benji who set up a good try yesterday. So I guess he is a big loss, but we've got a good player in Benji who can definitely fill in his spot. He's played the 300 games now, and he's an experienced half. So I'm sure he won't be out of his depth. He's been a great player for so long, and he's been great for us this year. So Bags, I'm sure, will fill in that spot great if Cody's suspended.
He was a bit angry yesterday, Cody. What happened? Did someone give it to him in the sheds before the game or what?
No, that's just him in general.
He loves it.
He loves the fire of the game. And if I don't know if anyone's noticed, he always seems to be in the thick of things when there's a scuffle. So that's just him in general. And he's always there to put his hand up and get stuck into anyone who's having a go at him. So you can't blame him for that. It's just the way he is. And I love it.
John, we had a listener call earlier today, Damien, just talking about Adam Reynolds and his future and saying how important he is to fans. What have you made of? Is it disconcerting at all, unsettling, the notion that contract's still under negotiation?
Yeah, look, obviously for Reno, there's obviously the cloud there of with the contract negotiations. But I think he said it before, but he let his footy do the talking, and I'm sure he's done that the past couple of weeks. He was... You know, his kicking game is probably the best in the comp, and he was tremendous. He scored a good try, as I said before, and would it worry him? I don't think there's too much upstairs for that or it'll worry him. So I think he's, I think he'll sort of just let the noise outside, let that sort of keep it to itself, but let his footy do the talking, and he's done that. And, you know, I'm sure the club will do everything they can in their power to keep him because he's, he's the captain of the club. He's a South junior. He's been there for 10-plus years now. So, all the boys love Reno. He's a bit of a pest and he annoys everyone, but everyone loves having him around.
The Supercoach didn't look overly impressed when he fronted the media yesterday. He said you guys lacked continuity and there was a little bit of ill discipline creeping into the contest as well. What was he like in the dressing sheds? Is he throwing off?
No, I don't think he was sort of I made a couple of stupid errors. I face planted on the ground and the ball come out.
What about that?
Got it stolen.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
We couldn't. We were the commentary.
Everyone, Yeah, that's what I said. Casper ankle tapped me, and I think he hit the deck. So,
And he ripped the ball out. It was a big play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well done from him. It was all right, Wayne. After the game, obviously, he did speak about, you know, silly errors like that, just sort of dropping them into contact and some of us non-contact, just hitting the deck. But obviously, there was a little bit of ill discipline there at the end of the game. But, obviously, we're going to address that and make sure that, you know, we're hopefully not doing that in a few weeks to come because, that's what wins your footy games when you're holding the ball and completing sets. So, we'll address that. And I don't want Wayne on me back for another week, so I'll be making sure, doing everything in my power to make sure that I'm error-free.
The sauce was good yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saucy's been good the past couple of weeks. Obviously, he had that little sort of hiccup where he was left out of the team and he got his opportunity to come back last week and took it with both hands. And he was great for us last week and he was great for us again yesterday. So, yeah, look, I'm happy for him. He's a good fella as well. And he's been a good player for many years. And he's definitely proven his worth, that's for sure, with the last couple of weeks, scoring a few tries and doing his job, which is running hard. And that's what he's made a career out of, is getting a quick play of the ball and running hard for the boys and, getting some momentum for us.
It's good to have those guys at the back, isn't it? I mean, South's probably been a little bit light on in recent years of just guys bringing the ball back hard from their end with big, strong wingers. It makes your job so much easier.
Yeah, it definitely does. It makes it easier when you got the wingers flying off the back fence and you don't have to walk back too far to get back into the the attacking line, sorry. So definitely makes it easier and it's definitely handy to have when you got your wingers you got your wingers flying off the back fence, as I said. And they were usually known as footballer friends, but they're actually they're a big vital part of your football team these days. They're big, they're strong and they're powerful. So the wingers definitely changed over the years.
Muscly touch judge, they used to call them.
Yeah, they're the guys who get the beers for us forwards at the club.
Hey, Joy, Wayne's obviously up against Kevy next week. Do you think he'll want to prove a point? What do you think it'll be like for him? And also you, I mean, you're a former Broncos boy.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know how Wayne will go about that, but I guess you love coming up against your old clubs and, it'll be no different next week with Wayno. I'm sure he'll want to, for us as a team collectively to put in a good performance and, hopefully play some good footy and exciting footy because, we definitely have the team that we can do that and, some people showcased that yesterday. But I don't know whether he'll want to prove a point or whatnot. I'm sure Wayne will just go about his business as he does and that just coach the way he does. So, I'm not too sure on that one.
First year in the big smoke, Joy. You off to the Easter show?
No, I'm not off to the Easter show. I've actually stayed away from there. I think there'll be too much traffic. So I'll stay away from the traffic and just enjoy myself down in Maroubra Beach, drinking my coffees. And
you had too many
temptation as well.
You had too many bad experiences up at the Ecker, have you?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
No, I'll stay away from them.
What's it called up there?
The Ecker. I don't know, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Come on, mate, get out there. Broaden the wings a little bit.
He's in COVID lockdown, girls.
Can't they go? Aren't they allowed? Are
you?
Yeah, you wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. No, we can wear a mask. We'll wear a mask. Okay. I've got my mask set and ready in the car. So
yeah, be compliant. Be COVID compliant.
Especially if you're going to play the pokies, Joy. Put that mask on.
Absolutely. Hey, mate. Great to talk to you as ever. Congratulations on another good result for the Bunnies and for yourself.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.